the more human-centric the way you think about things, yeah, the more human you are.
That's interesting.
Or at least the more humane you act.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right, so here's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Religion.
All right, let's do it.
Spirituality, religion, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
So are you religious? Are you spiritual?
What's your standing on? My dad is Jain. Okay. My mother was Hindu. And I grew up Jain, so I don't eat meat.
Okay.
But Jainism is not even just meat, but like anything that's grown inside the ground in the dirt, and even things like that. So my grandma, she wouldn't eat potatoes, carrots, and a whole bunch of stuff like that because it's grown in the ground.
Okay.
And the whole concept behind it is non-violent.
Okay.
So if you're eating meat, you're being violent.
Violent.
If you're even like killing ants, you're being violent.
Violent.
So I grew up around that. So my closest religion would be Jainism. I would say that I probably practice the core principles. There's only like three or four of them, but I don't religiously practice them. So I don't generally go to the temple or anything like that. But up till from about 12 years old till about 16, like right when I got my license, I went to Sunday school.
Okay.
And just a quick anecdote on that, I now realize how much that actually impacted a lot of things about how I think about things.
All right, we'll come back to that.
Cool,
because that's an interesting point. Weird side note, but it fits into this episode.
Yeah.
You said even killing an ant or something like that is violent, right? So it's against that religion.
Yeah.
So you growing up as a child, did you ever like kill bugs or things like that? Or did you know not to do that because it was
against
the
religion? I knew not to do that.
Okay.
And it was because when we had ants in our house, we did our best to not kill any, but get them out of there.
Okay.
Right? And it would be things like, you know, even a spider try to get, especially if my grandma was there. So I grew up mostly with my grandma being around and my grandpa.
Yeah.
And like she was super religious. Like she prayed 75% of the day. So like if a spider or something got in there, we always try to take it out without doing harm to it, basically.
You know, the reason why I ask is because I find it fascinating watching my boys, especially when they were babies.
Yeah.
Oh, my smaller one is still a baby.
Sure.
Kill bugs like with a passion and with a curiosity, with a... the cold
like a farmer,
hearted,
literally
babies, they can't talk or walk it, and then they see a bug and they just go with the finger and they want to touch it, but not just touch it, they want to just push on it.
I understand it, yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is so interesting because we don't have a television at home.
Yeah.
They didn't see me kill bugs or ants or anything like that, but they have that like, and I was always wondering if that's like the man's instinct to kill and hunt, like well, where that's coming from.
I think it's just curiosity, and they're not touching it to kill it, they're touching it to like feel it.
Yes, sometimes, but sometimes I have the feeling that like even once they've done it a few times and then they now realize that, oh, if I push it really hard, it's gonna like break technically. They still go for it just because they're curious with that relationship. There's something interesting of watching a baby or child kill an insect. Anyways, weird side note. I was just observing that with my babies, and then when you said that, I was like, oh, I wonder if you, as a growing up as a little child, didn't do that.
I'm pretty sensitive to those things. Yeah,
right, that's
I tried not to do it. I'm sure I did it.
Right.
I mean, magnifying glass, ants, like it's kind of cool.
It is kind of interesting.
In the sun.
All right, so Sunday school.
Yeah.
You said that you just recently realized or started thinking about the influence that had on you.
Yeah.
Tell me about Sunday school. What exactly was that
like? Yeah, we just went. It was 2 or 3 hours, and we would just go through a couple classes, and they would just talk about Jainism and the principles, right? And about like how what that really meant. So I think there's one big principle called ahimsa, which is basically nonviolence, non-injury.
Okay.
And that's the main principle in the religion.
Okay.
So as you live your life, you shouldn't have, you shouldn't be violent against other human beings or other living things through action, speech, or thoughts.
Mm.
Because it's a very, like, it's like Hinduism around karma and stuff like that. That
right.
really plays into it. Jains believe in reincarnation in the same way.
Okay.
Things like that. So, you know.
Is there like, is there a way to break out of this cycle, like in Buddhism or not?
Yeah,
like,
if you, what I like to say about it is if you're really a true Jain all the way to the extreme, you're going to basically be naked in the forest, just chilling out till you die. And the reason is, like, then that's the most extreme way to be least invasive to the planet, to other living things. And that's probably the way you would get what they call moksha, which is, like, out of that cycle and into not even God, but, like, that sort of heaven type thing.
Okay. Equivalent. So nonviolence is a core principle.
Yeah.
Is that the highest pinnacle of what you're trying to achieve? It's not like doing anything else. As long as you can be nonviolent, you're like, you're good.
Yeah, so that's the first principle. And the second principle is, it's got a longer name, but it's basically non-absolutism.
Okay.
So I actually believe, I think it's part of my personality, but I believe part of the being able to accept things that you don't necessarily believe. So that's kind of the idea of non-absolutism in my mind. So it's basically just being extremely open-minded to other people's ideas, other people's views, even if they're not your own.
Detachment from Buddhism comes to mind,
so,
right?
So one of the ways that I practice that, or just, I don't think I consciously practice, I think it's very subconscious, but is like when people want to go out somewhere, right, and have like dinner, I don't care if it's a steakhouse, even though I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
So one, I'm not judging them for eating meat. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if they eat meat in front of me. I don't even mind if they start spilling the juices on me for whatever reason, right? It doesn't bother me. I don't mind if I mistakenly eat meat either, okay, as long as I didn't consciously do it.
Okay.
Right? So that's the way I think about it. So that's, I think, that one. And there's a couple more, so I'll just go through them.
I find this interesting. Yeah.
Another one's non-possessiveness.
Non-possessiveness.
So they say that's the idea of taking no more than is necessary. So, like, trying not to have ownership over people, things, objects, whatever it may be.
How do you rank on that one?
I think that's probably one of the harder ones. I think the other two are a little bit easier for me. I think the whole non-possessiveness, I think the way the world works today is, like, we want more, right? So it's and a lot of these principles are actually quite hard to practice in today's reality. Like, even eating meat. Not eating meat can be hard sometimes in certain areas or certain situations, right? But you figure it out. Bread and butter, it's all good, whatever. So I think that one is all about minimizing the tendency to hoard unnecessary possessions and stuff like that. I'm actually looking at the Wikipedia because it's helping me kind of understand these a little bit better. So those are basically the three main principles.
So the way you talk about it... Yeah. Sounds more to me appears more to be like a framework that is kind of something that you find useful as a guidance system, and where you can logically like think through it and go, this makes sense. I kind of like these principles to life. There's some part of it that's upbringing, tradition, like my roots, my family. But it doesn't sound like the religious part of this is probably the thing that you're like that. Do you truly believe that you're going to be reincarnated, for instance? That's kind of less of a framework and more of like a practice. Do you truly believe in the physical act of being reincarnated and living multiple lives?
Yeah. I'm not religious enough to even answer that question. So what I mean by that is, like, I mean, honestly, like, I like believing things I can see, feel, touch that I can consider the truth. And what's funny is one of the vows of Jainism, there's five vows also.
Okay.
Some of them are overlapping, but it's like one's called Satya, and that actually means truth. So the vow is to always speak the truth.
Okay.
Given that nonviolence has priority, other principles yield to it whenever they conflict. So they always go back to the truth. So it's like, hey, I don't know if that's actually true. Okay. Now, do I personally believe those things? I personally believe those things because I like people. And some people, when I meet them, I feel like I'm already connected to them. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
One explanation is I met them in a previous life.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I have no idea.
All right. So, but you like the framework of it.
Yeah. Here's where it gets interesting, though. You can be reincarnated into an ant.
Right.
So that's where it gets interesting, where it's like reincarnation, the way it actually works in this religion is depending on how much karma you had while you were human, which is supposed to be a special state of reincarnation, on your next life, you're going to go one way or another, right?
I once heard the Dalai Lama, somebody asked him about his vices and mentioned that he really loves honey.
Yeah.
And he started laughing, as he always does, and was like, yeah, I really love honey. And, you know, I once thought that if I live a truly good life, maybe in my next life I'm going to be a bee. And that that made me look at bees totally differently. This right? sounds a little weird, but yeah. every time I see a bee now, I'm like, oh, might have been a Dalai Lama and a Brahma.
Yeah, exactly. And that's right. basically any living thing. Even honestly, even a plant. It has a
yeah,
soul,
yeah.
and you can be reincarnated yeah, into that. Yeah, so yeah. based on those concepts, I don't know if I believe it, because I can't prove that we have souls. I can't. Yeah. But like when I meet people that I feel like I've known a long time and I've never met them before in this life,
mm-hmm.
those are the kind of things that give me some evidence of this. But it's fake still. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no truth to it. I'll never know.
Yeah.
None of us are ever going to know this.
Yeah.
So I tend not to believe things I'm not going to, you know as truth.
Okay. Let's talk about Sunday school. So what exactly do you do at Sunday school in this particular religion?
Yeah, so there's two parts of it. One was, so most Jains are Gujarati, so that's the language.
Okay.
So some of it was the language and writing it and stuff, which never stuck okay. with me. So I can speak Gujarati,
mm-hmm.
not even because of the Sunday school, but because when I was growing up, on weekends, if I didn't speak in Gujarati, they wouldn't answer me.
Mm.
This was like when I was like 3, 4, 5, like they started doing that.
Okay.
And so I have a pretty good vocabulary there and I can understand it. I get made fun of when I go to India and speak it though.
Okay.
So obviously I'm not that good at it. I cannot write it, but they try to teach me that in Sunday school.
Okay.
So that was half of it. The other half of it was all about these religious beliefs and like explaining them, telling stories and things like that. To like explain what they are and what they mean. And some of it ended up being really practical, partly because my dad was a teacher at different times
mm-hmm.
or a co-teacher. And he always tried to bring it back to in this reality, in the world we live in today, because this religion was created a long time ago.
Yeah.
In the world we live in today, how do you practice this? So I grew up with all that around me.
So what was the biggest influence on the lessons that you learned there in terms of who you are today and how you do things?
Yeah, I think there's a whole bunch of like, whether it's quotes or things out there that align with this philosophy a lot, mm-hmm. like whether it's a Zig Ziglar one, which we've talked about
yeah.
before, of like, you know, you'll get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. That
yep.
actually really, if you look at all the Jainism principles, it kind of aligns with that. Even the idea of like do unto others what you'd want them to do to you kind of thing. So it impacted me where like I gravitate towards that philosophy. And that's how I really live a lot of my life. But the origins of it for me were this religion. Which honestly, I wouldn't call myself a religious person.
Yeah.
But yet, I'm vegetarian. I believe in nonviolence, and you know the truth aspects and the whole non-possessiveness. I like all that stuff.
You had any? Have you ever had like spiritual moments, like a moment where you felt very intensely something that you could not explain in the moment, or you experienced something that can be described through more spiritual language, but not through more scientific. You know, worldly language.
For me, I don't think there's been events that I would consider like that.
Okay.
But I think there's been meetings or conversations or hanging out with people that I would say were more spiritual on the spiritual side than less. But to me, that had a lot to do with the conversations we were having.
Okay.
So if you get into like a metaphysical conversation or a higher level conversation about sort of why trees are green,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That can turn into spiritual things if you're talking with the right person about it. So for me, my moments have more been along the lines of like the conversations I got into somebody with.
All right. There's an interesting thread. I mean, you know about that of like people and how
yeah.
like almost
for me that's my thread.
Almost like anything we talk about comes back to people,
yeah.
right? It's a beautiful thing.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think so.
Cool.
I think the more human-centric the way you think about things,
yeah.
the more human you are.
Oh, that's interesting.
Or at least the more humane you act, right?
Sure.
All right. So.
So what's your relationship with religion? What do you got?
Yeah. So I grew up Greek Orthodox.
Okay.
Well, on one hand, my mom was kind of religious, so we went to church on Sundays.
Yeah.
But I didn't give a fuck. Like, Greek Orthodox churches are really beautiful, but then the actual, like, sermon or whatever.
Prayer, sermon, all that.
It's kind of like they speak a very old language, and it's kind of like chanting.
Got it.
It's very dark, and it's like it's very guilt-driven. You walk into, like, this massive church, and and they have tons of pictures of like Jesus and Mary and all that. They all look at you as like they're suffering and you should be, you fuck me over. Like they have that look at you. So it's a very guilt infusing space.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then the chants are very like, oh, so it's like,
yeah.
not necessarily in a great environment for a kid. Like, I was just standing around there for 5 minutes trying to, like, yeah, get like, the okay you, from the
yeah,
mom.
Yeah, yeah, to
can
bounce.
I just fuck out? Yeah, yeah. And then all the kids would be outside the church just doing some shit.
Yeah, yeah. And we'd do the same in our stuff whenever we could, like, whenever events, because it was,
So
I think that's normal, right? So, when you're a kid, you're like, what is this shit? Like, I don't know. Yeah,
so
totally.
The one part, I was kind of just... You know, more culturally religious than spiritually religious growing up.
But on,
The other part, my grandmother was very, very religious, like insanely religious.
Yeah.
And she lived the last, I don't know, like 6 years of her life with us.
Yeah.
And she had cancer. She was really sick. And I practiced some, I did some super religious things to help her, and it gave her a lot. So I had a very, like, the most orthodox religious moments I had was with her, because every night, for instance, I would go over, I had a book with her, like, prayers, and I would sit down and I would pray with her, and she would, like, cry, and she would hug me, and she would, it would give her a lot.
Yeah, it would matter. It mattered to her.
And it mattered to me to have that moment with her, but not necessarily, I don't know how much it mattered, like, what I was actually reading. Like, it was, I didn't feel spiritual.
Me neither. Like, I just, I used
helped my grandmother.
Yeah, like, with my grandma, I used to do that too, right? Like, she'd want to do what they call a puja. Mm. And a puja is like a good half hour, like, ordeal. And it's like probably a half hour for her to set it up. But whenever she wanted to do it, we really couldn't say no.
Okay.
Right? Not because, like, she'd get mad, but because it was just the thing to do. Because if you wanted to keep grandma happy, you go do that shit, right? Like, and you sit there and you hold your hands out. Yeah. She does all this stuff and you're like, all right, cool. We good?
So this is kind of the upbringing, kind of just culturally religious and then, like, more involved in the practice with my grandmother, but more for her sake than for mine.
Yep.
And then, weirdly enough, this is so cliche to say, but just in the spirit of authenticity, because we try to never hold back when we talk about things.
Go for it. What do you got?
There was one moment, it's kind of cheesy looking back, but I remember watching some show on television. And I remember it was about, like, a fire and some little girl that barely survived the fire, and she was severely burnt. And she had, like, massive burns on her face. And they interviewed her, and she talked about all the shit she had to go through, all the bullying that was happening at school for her, and kids calling her pizza face. And I don't know why now...
Pizza face?
Yeah. Even now, telling it, I can feel that I'm, like, upset about this.
Yeah.
But I remember watching this as a kid, and I got so upset about it. Like, insanely upset, to the degree where I started hating God. And I don't... That was the first time I think I interacted with, like, because up to that point, I was like, yeah, sure, there's God, and there's this and that, and I go to church, and we pray, and to be a good person, and then you go to heaven. But I didn't really question these things. I'm like a fucking kid at that point, right? So I don't care. But that was the first moment, and I'm 9 years old or something.
Yeah.
This is after my father died, my grandmother. So I had, like, death and drama. But that, like, hearing that girl made me really angry. Like, angry at God. And that was the moment
where... Well, why'd you get angry at God? Because of that girl.
I don't know. Because I was like... I don't know. My rationale was like, if God existed, how the fuck would he allow a little girl to go through that level of suffering, right?
I understand.
And again, I'm like a 9-year-old and I'm like crying and I'm really upset. And in that moment...
Before her.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I basically went like, all right, fuck this religion thing. I don't believe this shit exists. Like, if there's a God...
So you were trying to find a reason to say that.
Maybe.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
So for me, it was like, all right, if the God exists, I don't get it. Like, I don't get why...
Yeah, why would he allow bad things to happen?
And this is very simplistic. It's a very simplistic view, but that was the view I had back then. And so either... Either he or she, either God exists and I don't care for that entity, or they don't exist.
Yeah.
So then why should I care? So that moment was when I was, the first time when I was like, no, fuck this.
That's
like,
when you questioned it.
I'm not really religious. Like, I don't believe in this bullshit. Right? And I think for the rest of my upbringing, I was very, very much in the atheist camp of like, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in that bullshit. And then I think, with, 22, 23, well, probably around the time that I was 22, I met a guy that was pretty influential on me and that basically did a lot of courses on hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming and a lot of like communicational mental trainings. But he himself was just, and still is, he's around today. The cool thing about him was that he, when he was teaching, he was using like the most radical models of explaining the world, from super spiritual to super like practical, and he would just switch the models, and he would go in areas where I thought like, what the f-? Areas where I thought, oh, I totally respect this guy. This guy is really smart. And then he would say things, and I was like, this is so weird. Only weird people talk about like the energy in stones and some shit. Like what the fuck are you talking about?
Stones have energy, man.
Yes. So, but he would like...
Yeah, he'd go both places. He'd go both places. You're like, what's going on? Yeah.
And spending time with him and a bunch of other people, I explored a lot of areas that I was uncomfortable exploring before because they were super esoteric and they seemed like... places that people that are weak in my worldview back then go for escape, right?
Yeah.
And I started thinking more in a model-based framework, which was, I don't know what is true. Like, I can't know what is true, and I don't think I will ever know. Nobody will ever know that. Like, truth is a funny thing.
Well,
like,
especially
I don't think,
about religion.
Right, especially about these things. So I don't know what's true or not, but what I... can discover is what is useful or practical
Or helpful to you.
Or helpful to me.
Yeah.
So there's certain, so if I'm comfortable, the more models I can utilize to explain the world and operate in it, the more free and powerful I am as a human being, the more happy I can be because I'm not constrained to a small box.
So then religion is just one model.
Yes. Or spirituality is one model.
Got it.
Right? Yeah. And I think that today I'm not a religious person at all, but I am a pretty spiritual person.
Yeah.
I do operate under the assumption that there is things that are beyond the fully physical.
Yeah.
And I think that certain models of thinking are really helpful.
Yeah.
Like, a really, even in a practical sense, helpful.
Well, if nothing, they help you at least make sense of them, whether it's truth or not. It just helps you make sense of something.
Yeah,
Otherwise, you're running around not understanding things.
Yeah. And you know, so and I find that the most fascinating people that I've interacted with, the people that have most influenced me, are people that are just wider in the area of reality they can operate in than others, right? So the more narrow your field of what you think is real is... The less free you are as a human being, the more broad your way of like believing in reality, the broader
even
your reality,
interpreting it.
You broader your reality, the more amazing these people are typically, and the more free they are in the way they interact with the world, the way they operate in it. So I try to go down that path where, you know, where I want to be able to utilize more and more and operate in a broader and broader reality and not be as narrow-minded as I used to be for a really long time.
Is that your tip?
I don't know. Yeah, that's my tip.
It's hard to give a tip on religion.
It's a really hard point to give a tip on religion.
I've been trying to think of one and I haven't found a great
one. Let me
one.
Ask you one question, though. This is more practical, but how do you feel about like religion at the workplace or religion at startups? Because it's not something that people talk about usually.
Yeah. I think generally, especially in California, and I'd say, and then to a degree, a little bit less in this country.
Yeah.
Right. The country's full of many religions.
Yes.
Probably more than other countries. Right. Yes. In terms of variety. Right.
True.
India has a lot of religions.
Yeah.
But like here, the variety is definitely way more mixed. Right. And as a result, I don't think you can dictate religion in a workplace now. But if you go start talking to people in the workplace, especially like founders of a company or something like that, you probably start understanding a lot about them, just like we probably understand a lot about each other now because of the religion and how whatever their belief or non-belief was growing up.
Right.
So that definitely, I'm sure, impacts them. But like religion in a startup, in a workplace, like, you know, I think that's a tricky one.
It is. And I think it's so interesting.
I think... It goes back to even things like what they used to dictate in schools, in elementary schools, around like Pledge of Allegiance and some of the things that were said in there that, you know, imply certain religious beliefs and stuff like that. So like, I think from a political, legal, et cetera standpoint, we tend to try to be very open here. So if a startup is extremely religious, then they're just limiting themselves to the people that are going to work there and things like that, right? But that might be a thing that they want.
So here's one thing that I've noticed one interesting thing. So religion is really not ever talked about. Yeah. I don't think in 8 years of being in the Valley, I've ever talked to a startup founder or an employee or somebody, my team member, about like what they believe or not in terms of religious terms, which is interesting.
Neither have I.
But one thing that I've noticed in myself, one like challenge I have in myself when I interact with people, is that when I meet people, let's say I meet somebody like you, and I know that you're still practicing the religion you grew up with, but I can sense that you're doing it from a spiritual framework as well as a kind of cultural point of view. I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. And I like people that are like, I feel myself spiritual, so I respect that and I appreciate that with other people. When somebody's religious, when somebody believes in the dogma of their religion to a word and a T, it makes me always slightly uncomfortable. And it's even compounded. And here's my bias. This is just me reflecting on the way that I look at the world in a way that I don't think is right yet. But if I meet somebody like that I grew up with that's like not in my world as thoughtful, as intelligent, and they're super religious and dogmatic, I'm totally cool with it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But when I meet somebody that I deem incredibly intelligent and very wise and thoughtful, and they're really, really religious, that fucks with my worldview. That's like a model that I'm not quite yet comfortable with. And I go, how can... Like, I have an edge on with that in a weird way.
But a lot of times, like, religion, if you're exposed to it early, like, as a child, like, that's what sticks with you, regardless of your proclivity around business or IQ or anything. It's like, it's something that you were exposed to so early in your life that, like, you start gravitating, like, that way, regardless of anything else, right?
Yes. So, it's upbringing, and as I think the thing that challenged me is somebody goes, I'm Christian and I grew up that way and I truly believe it, the spiritual aspect of it, I'm like, cool. But the moment that person believes in the reality of heaven and a hell, and when you're not part of this religion, no matter how good of a person you are, you're going to go to hell. And then that like blows my mind. I think that's something where I'm not...
Well, it's because it's in your reality, it feels irrational.
Yes.
Mine too. Like, yes. It's just irrational. Like, I don't understand it either. But
I feel also guilty that I feel that way. I criticize myself for feeling that way.
So in my... Based on the principles of my religion, I have to be open to that if I want to follow them, which, you know, is all relative. And so just being open to that makes me think, well, the person was exposed to it to an extreme extent to the point where, like, they are programmed that way to think about heaven and hell in that way that you just described, right? Yeah. I think you see the same, you know, I guess for me, all I'm looking for in that person, this is what helps me be okay with it, I guess, or, you know, deal with it, is are they open-minded enough for other points of view. So yeah, they might believe that themselves, but how much are they pushing that on other people?
Yes. Right? That makes a big difference.
I think that's what it boils down to. Yeah. So you can be super religious, but if I never know it because you didn't push it on me, that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Right, that's okay. Like, I'm good with that. Like, I'm not going to push my beliefs on anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to go tell people not to eat meat. At the same time, when people try to convince me to eat meat, I actually do get a little irritated.
Irritated by that.
Good friends of mine. It's like, dude, like,
do people really
did I try to tell you not to eat fucking meat? Why are you telling me to eat meat, right? Leave me alone, right?